Good morning, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good morning to Chicago. Good morning to Denver. Good morning to San Francisco and LA. It is March the 4th, if you can believe such a date exists. It is March the 4th, 2021, and it's almost kind of sort of sunny outside. They call this partially sunny or partially cloudy, kind of opaque. It is a bluish hue that is covered in cotton candy mixtures of loveliness. I don't know what to call it, but it's kind of something, and it's not too terrible. I should be a weatherman. The weather today is going to be something, and it's not going to be too terrible. I can't believe it is March the 4th, 2021. I am in Seattle. We're still alive if you're listening to me. Or we're in some sort of simulated reality module underneath the ice covering, the ice sheath, the icy surface of the moon Europa. Yes, we are either alive or, well, we're frozen and alive in a facility on the ice moon Europa. And on that ice moon, we are fed bullshit about what's going on. And on that ice moon, we walk around in a virtual reality with tiny little rectangles we fucking stare at. Yeah, I don't know. This could be real. We could be alive. Let's assume we're still alive. Heart still beating, still living. First topic. And did I tell you it's 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time? On this kind of almost sunny, not so cloudy, not so totally trashy. Yeah, first topic, my friends. And we'll start with a quote from Dr. Freckles. When you keep things from dying, when you keep things from dying, you keep things from living. That's right. Let's say that again. When you keep things from dying, you keep things from living. Now, before we go too far into this, let me talk about someone loosely applying this in such a way that they're not really thinking. When I say keep things from dying, I'm not talking about preventing an accident. If, for example, some kid of yours, some child, some person you care about, if someone you know is in trouble, and you can help and you can keep them from dying, I think people should try. That's not my point. My point is not to give up on yourself or other people. That's not the point of this. But I will say, per the metaphor of the book of Ecclesiastes, the ice cream cone that represents the life that we're all given basically the same ice cream cone. Whether we want to believe it or not, we basically are. Yes, they come in different flavors. Yes, some have sparkles. And yes, some have those really cool chocolate, candy coverings on the top of their ice cream cones, like their drumsticks that you bought at 7-Eleven. Those have been sitting in the freezer for 17 years, man. Go ahead and eat it now, buddy. It's yours. It's your ice cream cone, you fuck. Anywho, per the metaphor that you are given a life, and it can be kind of thought of like a ice cream cone. There are people who say, "Well, I should eat the crumbs." Okay, listen, if you want to eat the crumbs, you can. There's probably leftover bits and pieces of shit in that plastic that that drumstick came in that you can just nibble on and scrape at. There's probably leftover pieces of ice cream cone you can find with your fucking microscope. If that's your plan, that's fine. That should be your choice. Some of us look at the ice cream cone and say, I'm going to eat as much as I can, enjoy it as much as I can, but it was always going to melt. Like if I did nothing with this life, if you do nothing with this life, it will simply end. And I'm not saying that you're supposed to get up every day and do something, but what I am saying is whether you do something or you do nothing, this life will end. And I'm of the opinion that the last years are generally, they can be kind of just difficult years when you think about it. Yeah, live as long as you can, but be realistic, folks. Okay? My own personal choice, I would not want to extend my life if I was not able to take care of myself. That's just my general belief. I would not want to be in an assisted living facility or something. It's just kind of how I am. And I know there are a lot of people who would hear that. Well, Dan, are you judging people? No. No. If there are people that can derive enough joy out of life at that point that makes sense, then do it. I have no interest in it. I'm of the opinion that I want to eat the ice cream cone as long as I'm able. And when I am unable, if there's still some left, that's fine. Very few people are ever so good at life that they use up every bit of it in the best way possible. And it was never going to be kind of an end all anyways. For Christians and, for people of faith like myself, we are told that this life, this physical life, is temporary. And that there is work we do here, and it's critical work, but it's not the end all. It's just a step along the way. It's not, it's going to end. Anyways, I didn't really bring up this quote for the purpose to talk about the issue of life extension or assisted living. That's not the point. But it does apply, I think, in a way. The reason why I have this quote, "When you keep things from dying, you keep things from living," is it refers to the way that our government behaves towards business. This idea that there are sacred cows. And I know, oh my gosh, Dan, you just offended a bunch of Hindus by saying sacred cow. You know what? If I don't offend at least 50 people or 17 different groups of people every podcast, then I am failing. I promise myself I would offend at least a certain number every hour. If I can't do that, what good am I? Is there any hope for a podcaster that can't offend a whole bunch of people? There's no hope. Yeah, anywho, we have sacred cows. We have protected things in our society that we tell ourselves have to exist. For example, and I'm going to beat up on the one that's going to get the most people pissed off at me, the farmer. We're told that the farmer is an institution, the farmer has to be kept alive. Here's what I'll contend. The farm bills and the farm money mostly goes to the big farm corporations. The everyday family farmer, I think, is just as screwed today as they were 50, 60, 100 years ago. All that farm aid is farm crap. There is no such thing as a sacred cow in a free enterprise economy. If you're able to farm, do it. If you can't, you probably shouldn't. Nobody should fund anybody to do things that are essentially self-destructive or destructive to others or simply pointless. I'm sorry. All right? I like podcasting, but here's the deal. I do have to pay for food, water, and shelter. So ultimately, podcasting does not keep me alive. No one should be forced to fund me, okay? I would love to have enough of an audience to do this. I don't. But do I think that there should be a law that says, well, someone should pay me to do something that nobody wants? No. So the sacred cow, the farmer, yeah. Do we keep farmers alive because they're farmers? I don't see why. I don't see why. I don't see the point. I'm sorry. And this applies to banks, and this applies to defense corporations, and this pretty much applies to most of the government. The most of the government is a losing, well, all of it is a losing proposition, okay? Pretty much all of it. I said most because I don't want to offend everybody who feels like they have their own sacred cow. Well, Dan, you know, I understand it's all bullshit, but not the farmer, not the fisherman, not the guy building bombs, not the soldier. You know what? There are no sacred cows. Those things don't exist in this context. And societies become weaker if you keep things around that should just go away. The thing about pouring money into an institution or an organization or a business that no one would ever pay for and ultimately is a bad idea, the thing about that is you're taking away the opportunity, the choices to do other things with that capital. There are other choices we could make. For example, people talk about going to Mars. You know, going to Mars. People talk about going to Mars. And listen, maybe you can go to Mars. I don't really know. I've never been there. I've never been to space. I'm told it's awesome. But I can say this, though. It's hard to go to Mars if you're spending lots of money on blowing shit up. It's hard to go to Mars if you're taking your best and your brightest and putting them into systems where they're just going to create death machines, okay? I don't care how many death machines you build. You can stack them up and you'll never get to Mars that way. If Mars is a place you can go. Stack your death machines. Build a billion tanks and stack them up and they will tip over, but you will never get to Mars that way. Once again, the quote, when you keep things from dying, you keep things from living. Nobody wants to lose their job. Nobody wants to see some business go out of business, right? But when I look at 2020, a whole bunch of people watched a bunch of businesses get fried over what I can only tell you was a big fucking lie, a big deception. And if it was a giant self-deception, then triple fuck you and fuck us all. I don't think it was accidental. I don't think it was oops. Anybody who wants to look at this fucking COVID bullshit and say oops, fuck you. Okay? This is not oops. This is not the kind of shit that accidentally happens. This is shit that has to be planned. A whole bunch of people lost their jobs. A whole bunch of small businesses were destroyed and are still being destroyed. And why? From what I can tell, to keep things alive that should be allowed to survive on their own. Let's talk about Amazon. If Amazon is a good idea, Amazon doesn't need crony contracts with the CIA. Amazon doesn't need easy money policy. Amazon doesn't need any special fucking help. If Amazon can survive on its own, it can survive on its own. To me, it is not accidental that Amazon reaped a lot from the great COVID lie. While people were killing themselves and dying of untreated cancer and suffocating themselves with masks that don't work, I do not doubt that Amazon did well, because this entire mess was designed to feed that crap hole. And listen, you know what? They control so much. If you say, well, Dan, where do you buy stuff? I live on the fucking Death Star. I use the main Death Star store. It's called Amazon. All right? That's where Vader gets his shit too. What choices do we have, buddy? I live in Seattle. I live in a place where basically stuff has been destroyed by the COVID lie. And then you want to come back at me, well, where do you buy your shit? I buy it where I can find it, fucker. I am trying to get by just like you. If you want to be high and mighty, find yourself a high and mighty planet. From what I can tell, to some degree, every motherfucker on planet Earth right now owes a little something. And a bill's coming due. When you keep things from dying, you keep things from living. Okay? That's the deal. Things have to die in this world. This is not Eden. This is not the kingdom come. This is not an infinite life. You won't live to the year 2045 and then live forever. You're born and then you die. If you have a cat or a dog, I don't have to tell you. Your cats and dogs are going to die. If you have a fish, your fish will die. If you have a donkey that carries swords, that donkey is going to die one day. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Donkey man. Anywho, next topic. I don't know what I would do without my smart device. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Dan, I don't know how I would find my way without my smart device. Dan, I wouldn't be able to keep track of the food I eat without my smart device. Dan, without my smart device, my kids would catch fire. Dan, without my smartphone, I'd never get that job. I I'd never get the job. Yeah, I've heard this from a lot of people in the last 15 years, roughly, the last decade and a half, ever since the quote-unquote decent mobile phone that you could send text messages with and had a camera, ever since that mutated into your portable computer. And really, your portable helper, your helper, it's like if you don't know to buy something you don't need, your portable helper will tell you. If you don't know to call your uncle to purchase something for Christmas, your portable helper will direct you to a store. If you need to report someone for not wearing their mask, your portable helper will allow you to do that. If you need to take pictures of somebody and send them to the police, yeah, the portable helper. One of the mystery questions of 2020 is, how did this happen, Dan? Because people are of the opinion, and I want to just be optimistic for a second and say this might be true. I've heard people say that the great curse, the great trick, the great spell that was cast upon the world a year ago is breaking. That people are waking up. They're recognizing that they've been fed bullshit. I would love that to be true. And the fact that, you know, Governor Abbott, as great dictator, decided to open Texas, well, that sounds great. It's great that the people that basically destroyed small businesses are now taking their foot off the throat. And I would love to believe that. But then, because we're in this time where we think it might be getting better, people are asking the question, Dan, how did it happen? How did it happen? How did billions of people, or at least hundreds of millions of people, get so fucking fooled to get so... And I don't even mean just the monkey herpes, or what I now call the Tide Pod Challenge. I don't mean just the COVID Tide Pod Challenge. That's bad enough. I mean the monkey herpes. I mean the coin shortages. I mean all the fear-mongering around China and Russia. I mean the election. I definitely mean the fucking bullshit race war crap. How did people get so suckered? That's a good question. I would say look at your smart device, because for a lot of people, that's where they get their answers. They don't use their eyes. Like, for example, if a person were walking into their home and their home was on fire, but their smart device and their Nest device and their doorbell device by Amazon said, your house is fine. Your house is fine. Internal temperature is 72 degrees. It's perfect oxygen content, according to Amazon. Alexa said so. Go ahead and enter. Don't look. Just look at the phone. Don't smell the smoke. Just look at the phone. Yeah, I think a lot of people would almost be that stupid at this point. If their phone told them, and when I say their phone told them, that's not how that works. What it usually is some spokesmodel or some fictional character on LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook, or some reporter or op-ed person, some person we're supposed to look up to, and you see it on your phone, and it emphasizes its importance because, hey, Twitter promoted this, so it must be important. Facebook thought this was important. So it must be critical, 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 right? So critical, it's so important. And people will say, shit, did you hear what Dr. Fauci said yesterday? Dr. Fauci said that if you eat two Tide Pods and two cups of metal shavings and half a cup of mercury, you can fight the COVID. You can do it. I think a huge part of what happened would not have been possible without first capturing a lot of human cognition, a lot of human thought, a lot of reason. And one way in which I think they've captured human cognition in the last few decades is not just with smart devices, because they're relatively recent. They're more of a thing of the last, 15 years. But really, they've kind of caught human cognition with computers. And I work with computers. I love computers. I think they're wonderful tools if they're treated like tools. When they become obsessions or quote-unquote helpers or, crutches or something else, I'm not really sure they're helping us. We're definitely helping somebody else. We're helping Amazon and Google and Facebook and Twitter. We're definitely helping, the NSA. There are people being helped when we use a smart device, but I don't think it's us. I think we're getting dumber. I think we're becoming more gullible as we use these smart devices, because they tell us that, if the sky is black and gray and brown, they say, no, the sky is blue. And if a whole bunch of people got killed at some place the other day, no, there's a whole new red wine coming out of that country. They tell us stuff to cover up other things, and they give us special lies. And the smart device is a great way to deliver it. And then you add in social media and the whole dopamine cycle and the fact that it basically is a video game. Once you wrap all that together into a tamale, what you have is the perfect tool for mind control. What you have is the way in. That's the hack. H-A-C-K. If you want to know how they hacked us, how'd they do it, Dan? How could so many people? This isn't just ordinary schmucks. A lot of nurses and doctors were fooled. Now, I say nurses and doctors because I think the quality of education's gone down a lot in the last few decades. So I say nurses and doctors with sarcastic fucking quotes. But a lot of nurses and doctors have been fucking fooled. So how do you think they got fooled? Well, I would say the same way. They looked at their tablet or their smart device or their computer screen. They read some fucking article from some expert. And, they went on social media and felt good about themselves, got their dopamine burst. That's how it worked. That's how it worked for all of us, Or almost all of us. But definitely enough people. What I will say, if this whole thing is over, and I don't think it's over, I'm sorry, I don't because I would like it to be, and because in general things that I kind of want don't happen, I generally try to follow the rule. If you want it to happen, it probably won't. I know that that's really dark. I would like this to be over. I would like to say to myself, what happened in Texas is a rise of common sense out of the ashes of delusion. Wouldn't that be great? If the phoenix of logic and reason rose from the ashes of delusion, I would love it. It would be so great. I'm not ready to say that's the deal. I am cautiously optimistic that it's a sign of something. I'm not sure what yet. But the fact is, a lot of people got duped and are still getting duped. A lot of people are still getting suckered. And I would say it's a combination of the people that are getting suckered and the people that are just the go-along get-alongs. Listen, I talk to lots of people in Seattle that are just like me. They wear the mask when they have to in order to buy food, in order to do things. I have good friends who have to do what I do because they live in one of these shitty cities where they're basically making people behave like animals. And yeah, you put on your muzzle animal and behave like an animal, but they do it because they figure this too shall pass, right? I think that that's the main categories of people wearing masks. The people who, A, have been totally suckered, and that's a scary big number. I think it could be a third of the people out there. Maybe even half. But there's a scary big number of people out there that are doing all this mask hokey pokey Simon Says bullshit because they actually believe they're being told the truth. And then there's that other group that are doing it because they know it's the hokey pokey. They know it's Simon Says. They know it's bullshit, but they want to live their fucking lives and they figure the cost of doing it is small. Anywho, next topic. Oh, this is a nice story we can read. This is a nice news article, especially if you're one of these Walt Disney fuckers. This is coming from APnews.com, and this article was written by Jill Lawless. Jill Lawless and pop-up ad, no. Jill Lawless and Danica Gurka. Yeah, this was written by Jill Lawless and Danica Gurka. From APnews.com, headline, hospitalized Prince Philip has successful heart procedure. Hospitalized Prince Philip has successful heart procedure. This is today. Published today, I think. You know, yeah, published today. London. Prince Philip has had a successful heart procedure at a London hospital and is expected to remain for several days of and I quote, rest and recuperation. Buckingham Palace said Thursday. The palace said the 99-year-old husband of Queen Elizabeth II underwent a successful procedure for a pre-existing heart condition at St. Bartholomew's Hospital. His Royal Highness will remain in hospital for treatment, rest, and recuperation for a number of days, the palace said in a statement. Philip, 99, has been hospitalized since being admitted to King Edward VII's hospital in London on February 16th, where he was treated for an infection. On Monday, he was transferred to a specialized cardiac care hospital, St. Bartholomew's. Camilla, Duchess of Cornwall, said Wednesday that Philip's condition was, and I quote, slightly improving. We'll keep our fingers crossed, said Camilla, who is married to Prince Charles, the eldest son of Philip and the Queen. Philip's illness is not believed to be related to the coronavirus. Both Philip and the monarch received COVID-19 vaccinations in January and chose to publicize the matter to encourage others to also take the vaccine. Philip, also known as the Duke of Edinburgh, retired in 2017. From what did you retire, you asshole? And rarely appears in public. Before his hospitalization, Philip had been isolating at Windsor Castle, west of London, with the Queen. Yeah. And you're asking yourself, Dan, why would you, an avowed anarchist, read about Prince Philip, the fucking husband of Queen Elizabeth? Because, yeah, I pretty much despise these people. They used to be just annoying. When I used to be a minarchist type, small government voter type libertarian, and even way back when I was a small government Republican, I would say things like, well, you know, it's stupid, but that's just their choice or whatever. Yeah, I don't think there's any choice in it. I think if the English people were allowed a fair and free vote on whether or not to have a king and a queen, I would wager they would not have one. And I'm not saying I believe in democracy. No, I think it's all bullshit. I agree with Winston Churchill. Democracy is the worst form of government, excepting all others. Now let me translate that for you. Democracy sucks, according to Churchill. And all other governments suck more. So basically, the logical conclusion of Churchill's unfinished syllogism is this. All government sucks. Winston Churchill. That's the truth. But I really do despise these noble types. They're creepy. Their entire structure is a cult. I do not believe anybody who wants to claim there's some connection to God in this. There is not. If there ever was if there ever was. It is long gone. These are satanic type people. They are involved in terrible things. Their lives are opaque and occult and dark and wretched. They live on the work of other people, and their only claim to fame is that they plopped out of somebody's belly versus someplace else. Big fucking deal. So that's how I feel about Prince Philip and the Queen and the King of France. Well, there isn't one of those anymore. But there's a Queen of Denmark or a King of... I don't care about the Queen of Denmark or the Queen of Sheba or the Queen of Disco. I don't care. I think kings and queens are really just fancy bullshit. And they're not, you know, they're not like sort of neutral. I've had people tell me that, yeah, but Dan, when the Roman Empire fell, blah, blah, blah. Listen, kings and queens have been around way before the Roman Empire fell. Kings and queens are the default bullshit that crooked people fall into and stupid people allow. I am sorry. Crooked people take on the mantle of being kings and queens, and stupid people put up with it. And one reason to put up with it is if they want to be dummies and go around riding on horses and shooting bows and arrow, whatever, other people want to do the work of living. But the fact is, it's a crooked enterprise. It's a protection racket. That's how it started. It was a protection racket. It's like some dude goes around the fucking neighborhood and says, listen, I'm the king of Little Saigon. I am the king of Little Saigon. A crow brought me a piece of pepper jack cheese and anointed my skull with the blood of a dead raccoon. And at that moment, a light shone down from Boblimpdok. And this convinced me that I'm the king of Little Saigon. If you pay me $10 a week, no, I mean, I'm sorry, a day, I mean an hour. If you pay me $10 an hour, you and all your friends can do it too. I won't blow up your restaurant or set fire to your farm. I'm the king of Little Saigon. I'm in charge of the water and the wind. I'm in charge of the sandstorms and the coyote. Every creature that crawls in Little Saigon is commanded by me, as ordained by Boblimpdok. And here's my sideways theory I have no proof for. I think it's as likely as not that when Prince Philip checked into the hospital, he was probably getting a heart from some Uyghur slave prisoner from China. Like probably some 20-something, he went to a website. My heart's not doing so well, Queen. Well, you can order a Uyghur. You can order a Uyghur off of UyghurHearts.com. Weaker hearts need Uyghur hearts. Weaker hearts need Uyghur hearts. That's right. Weaker hearts need Uyghur hearts. So Prince Philip went to UyghurHearts.com or .org. Who knows? Does it matter? He ordered himself a 25-year-old heart. Thank you. Dying like a cowboy. Die like a cowboy. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I want to die the way every cowboy should die. Alone. Out on the range. Eaten by my own cattle. Did you realize that's the authentic cowboy death, to die alone? In the middle of nowhere, in some great pastoral range-type zone, and once your heart stops beating, or sometimes even before, because the cattle love the warm blood. Yes, when the cattle know that the cowboy's about to die, the bulls and the cows, all the cattle gather around. The entire herd, the little ones, they all gather for the feasting. And before the cowboy's heart beats last, before his final heartbeat happens, the chief bull usually bites into the chest of the cowboy and bites out the still beating heart. And he screams, supper time. That's right, I want to die the way every cowboy should die. Alone on the range, eaten by my own cattle. That's a Dr. Freckles quote. Continue. Another quote from Dr. Freckles. At some point, you run out of things to destroy. Dr. Freckles. Now, of course, that's common sense and kind of a stupid quote. Like, Dan, that's not very interesting or wise. The reason why I mention it is we're not in very wise times. We're in interesting times, but we're also in really stupid times. A lot of people have been doing the opposite of what Bastiat would say we should do. Bastiat would say, you really don't make money off of broken windows and wars and blowing things up and putting people in prisons. Actually, those things are a net loss and probably worse. That's what Bastiat would say. But a lot of the disaster capitalists and the Keynesians and the Nancy Pelosi types would like to tell you, no, Dan, you can make money off an earthquake. You can make money off a hurricane. You can make money off of a nuclear reactor meltdown. There's money to be made in so many ways, Dan. And that broken window idea? My cousin Al Taroni in New Jersey, he goes down the street with his friends late at night and he busts out windows. And then he goes by the next day and says, listen, buddy, I see that you're missing your front window. That's really sad. My brother has a window business. Window repair, window replacement, glass repair. Give my brother a call. He'll give you a discount. ...2020 was a lot of things, and 2021 still is. But of the many things it is, it's an expression of that general Keynesian bullshit that destruction can be a positive thing. That, you know, it's like they're, you know, when they talk about we're going to have this really robust 6.8% GDP growth. I think I've had a few podcasts on this, so there's no point in like beating a dead, you know, GDP growth. But the reality is this, guys, if you totally destroy or partially destroy someplace, if you knock out their businesses and put tons of people in unemployment, it's pretty much only up from there. And all your GDP measurements start looking really fucking good. Wow, did I blow your mind? The way that GDP is calculated, it actually rewards you for having disasters. It rewards you for doing terrible fucking things like destroying countries or lying to hundreds of millions of people about a fucking monkey herpes virus that, if it's anything, It's the fucking cold. GDP, and we talked about this in yesterday's podcast, rewards people for destruction. But at some point, and you know, we got to think about this, at some point you run out of shit to steal, you run out of people to beat up, you run out of stuff to destroy. At some point, that last little bit of crap at the bottom of that ketchup bottle is just not worth the fucking effort. And when I look around the United States today, and I would say even the whole world, I would say we're pretty fucking close to that point. At some point, you run out of shit to destroy. You do. At some point, you run out of things to burn. At some point, you run out of people to kill. The path of evil does have an end, and that is total destruction. Next topic. Next topic. People talk about how the U.S. is heading towards a new caste system. That's caste spelled Charlie Alpha Sierra Tango Echo, C-A-S-T-E, caste. Like, you know how in India there are castes, and other countries like Japan, they kind of have caste too. Various societies have different groups of people. You know, you can touch this person, you can't touch that person. This person's okay. This person was born holy, like Prince Philip. Oh, Prince Philip. And yes, the nobility system of Europe, which still kind of exists in a lot of ways, is a kind of a caste system too. Yeah. And there are people who would say that a system like that's coming here. I think it's already here. I love it when people say things like the reset is coming or a caste system is coming. Dan, some brutal government that will take away your freedom is coming. Yeah, I think it's already here, fucker. Oh, but Dan, it'll get worse. Well, I know that's kind of what happens with terrible ideas. They don't get better. They only end up getting worse. If a new caste system comes into existence while I'm still alive, I will be of the Gelmet class. I will be Gelmet class third tier. I get to sleep in holes. I get to sleep in holes and eat mule pies. I get to sleep in holes and eat mule pies and drink cockroach milk and work in the poison mines. One day, if I'm really lucky, they'll let me die. One day, if I'm really lucky, they'll let us die. Yeah, caste system. I'm of the Gelmet class. Third tier. We all hate fourth tier. Third tier, they're all stuck up. Second tier, they do cocaine. First tier, they're really crazy. They're really lazy. They have the power to see into the future. They have the power to levitate and to consume donuts and to live inside of rocks. Indeed, if a caste system comes to this country, I will be Gelmet class. I will be third tier. I'll be working my way to second tier. I'll be going on my way up to first tier. One day I will achieve total understanding, and when I transcend first tier, at that point I will be taken to an island. We will wear fashionable yachting outfits. We will have numbers on our navy blue jackets. Everyone will say hello with that weird, you know, eye finger 666, you know, racism hand thing. There'll be floating balls that chase us. They'll constantly be sticking needles into us if I achieve total understanding. I've decided I want to go into business making billions. I want to make billions of dollars. I want to make billions of tons of gold. And what I've learned from 2020 and 2021 that there's a great business model for doing this. Sell vaccines. And if you say, well, Dan, don't you have to be a scientist? Well, yeah, I'm going to go into business selling vaccines, probably. Make a lot of money, I don't know. Actually, before we get into the topics of businesses, I'd like to talk about the fact that there is currently an executive committee order in China that people, I think everyone is supposed to get an anal swab for COVID to check their anus. Everyone has to get an anal swab. And some people believe that's coming here. I mean, Seattle's pretty fucking douchey at this point. They definitely put on commie parade days and other types of crap. They've got little drones flying around peeking in the fucking windows. So why the fuck wouldn't they send Dr. McScratchit and Nurse McBoobs and Mr. and Mr. Blimbus from the National Guard with their M16s and point it at you and say, Dan, we need an anal swab. We need a swab of your butthole. We need some of your Grimbus grease, some of the brown swan. We need the stuff that clings to your butt crap ding. But here's the thing, though, and I understand the economics of this. If you go down to Pioneer Square, if you go down to Pioneer Square on a Friday night, maybe right around 11:30 p.m., if you want to get an anal swab, that's $100. If you want to watch, that's $50. That's right. In Pioneer Square, it's $100 for an anal swab. Okay? It's $50 to watch. You go, hey, baby, what do you want? Well, we're from King County and we need an anal swab. Okay, baby, I don't care where you're from. It's $100 for you, another $50 for your friends each. I really think if they want to get an anal swab from someone, I really think they should have to just pay now. Because it really is a kind of crooked bullshit. It's some type of weird sexual kink. There's a reason why people are so into this bullshit, and it isn't because they care, okay? The people that want to become contract tracers, They're the same people who set fires that they're the same kinds of people who would set fire to a building, okay? And then call the fire department saying, "Look, and then they'll go in and they'll try to save some people and be the hero, right? I just saved a homeless person from that burning building." Yeah, those are the people. We're talking about people that would set fire to abandoned buildings with homeless people in them, maybe save one, let eight others burn, and then say, "Look at me, I'm a hero." You're a hero, buddy. Those are the people who are going to be coming by for that anal swab. They are the same types of people who take the jobs, the TSA jobs. And if you're going to say, "Well, Dan, it's a job, I have to do it," I get it. You live on the Death Star, just like me. But don't pretend it isn't something that it's not, okay? If you're going to do a shitty job on the Death Star, at least have the good conscience to admit it's a shitty job. That you shouldn't have to do it. You shouldn't have to invade people's privacy and treat them like crap. There should be no mechanism by which dehumanizing people is the law. In fact, I think most of these laws, all these laws are stupid. But the bottom line is this: a society that legislates dehumanization is a society that basically doesn't give a shit about people, that basically wants to see people just destroyed. And whatever is good about us, destroyed. So if you're gonna take a contract tracer job, if those happen, if you're gonna take an anal swab job, if those happen, and you need the money, I understand. We all need money. I need money. I need money for hookers, cocaine, jets, submarines. I need money to arm a corps, which is usually three divisions. I need money to arm a corps of troops, roughly 80 to 90,000, maybe less, maybe around 40,000 people. We all need money. I need money to wage my war against Denmark. And why is this, you say? Oh, I'll tell you. I am the king of Little Saigon. And we've been at war with Denmark since before anybody ever heard of anything, man. It's been forever. We have been at war with Denmark for at least 40,000 years. Before history had history, we were at war with Denmark. Denmark had to always be destroyed. It was always the thing we had to destroy. If we had the courage to destroy Denmark, the whole world could be free, but none of us have the courage. Why? Because of the Kringla? Because of what? Because that, what's that fucking place they got there? Make-believe Italy land? Tivoli? Why? Anyways. Yeah, anyways, selling vaccines. That's one way. But what about just selling jabs? Like, I thought about setting up a table down at like Westlake Center. Just a table. I wear like a lab coat. I look all professional. I have a sign that says selling jabs. I hire some homeless dude and put a lab coat on him, and I'll tell you why. Because this is how it works out. It's like, "Hey man, you sell jabs?" "I sell jabs. I do. Totally, dude. How much?" $50, man. Here you go." And then I signal, once I get the cash, I tell the homeless dude to wind up and punch that fucker right in the face. Now, of course, you'd say, "Dan, that's terrible. Terrible. You shouldn't do that. That's not good business." It's not good business, but it's great business on the Death Star. You know, it's worth a laugh. And of course, you're going to get arrested or thrown in jail or set on fire. All of this is true. But guess what? All of that was probably going to happen anyways. So, you know, there's that. But here's another amazing business idea I'll throw at you. Because we've already talked about breaking windows. That's Al's idea. But another great idea is just to go around your neighborhood. Like maybe right around sunset. In fact, I recommend right around sunset, knock on the doors of your neighborhood and just knock on the, say, "Listen, if you pay me $100 a week, I won't set your house on fire. If you pay me $100 a week, I won't kill your cat. Thank you." won't kill your cat. I promise. Anyways, next topic. This is the last topic for today, I think. Yeah, it definitely is. So we talked a little bit about Dr. Seuss before, like yesterday in another podcast. I don't want to beat a dead cartoonist. I don't really want to beat a dead cartoonist, although that's becoming really popular these days. So Charles Schulz, you better not have any really terrible cartoons in your closet. You're up next, buddy. And Amish, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, Amish. No, I think Charles Schulz is up. But yeah, here's the thing about cartoonists. This is my opinion. And I think this applies to artists in general. But this is especially true of cartoonists. If you've ever been into comic books, if you've ever been into graphic novels, if you've ever been into cartoons, I don't care the genre. I don't care if it's anime or pseudo-realism or that bullshit they used to, that dreck that Hanna-Barbera used to put out, the fucking this and that, the fucking Thundar, the barbarian bullshit. I don't care what genre you're into. This is true of all fucking cartoons. They are crude abstractions. They are crude stereotypes. In fact, almost by definition, for it to be a cartoon, it has to be filled with stereotypes. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how social justice focused you are. I don't care if you're religious or not religious. I don't care if you're one of these anime freaks who likes making manga and having Japanese people with samurai swords chopping off each other's heads, saying really cool Japanese shit, all of it a cartoon. If you are drawing cartoons, you are drawing stereotypes. That's basically true of all art, but it's especially true of cartoons by design because of the way they work. Okay, because of the imagery involved. They are not meant to be realistic portrayals. They are meant to be portrayals. And these portrayals, sometimes just inadvertently, can be kind of racist. In fact, I would say that probably every major cartoonist of the 20th century, probably almost every single one, to include the fucking commie cartoons, especially the Soviet cartoonists, oh my god, especially the commies, every fucking cartoonist, probably almost, has a fucking racist cartoon in their closet. It's not news, it's not something that should even shock people, but it's weird. Like I said yesterday, it's really weird that we're at the point where we have to, you know, beat a dead cartoonist. I mean, that's where we're at. That's the stage we're at. That's the stage we're at now, guys. You've got a problem, beat a cartoonist. You have a controversy, beat a dead cartoonist. You have a president that really can't, you know, count to 10, beat a dead cartoonist. You have a problem, beat a dead cartoonist. And for all of you out there, on Thursday, March the holy smokes, March the 4th, 2021, have a great rest of your Thursday. If you confront a problem in this life, there's no problem that can't be solved by breaking a window. If you're feeling bad, you'll help your neighbor out by popping a tire. If you're feeling sad, you can go, like, set a building on fire and save a homeless person and claim you're a hero. Or become a contact tracer. You can get that swab job. Yeah, you guys have a great rest of your Thursday, because I'm all elbows and knees, all sixes and sevens, upside down, sideways, and my brain is filled with coyote juice.